Well, all aboard, we're climbing on the drought bus. Well, that's what it used to be called. This is a road trip with a difference. Actually, there are two buses or mobile centres on wheels. The Kangaroo Paw is one of them and the Desert Pea is the other. They travel across Australia alongside all those caravanning grey nomads who might be tuning in right now on the road. And if you have lamented government agencies all being in Canberra or in the big cities and towns, here's an antidote to that. On board and joining me this morning is Barbara Tait. She's the manager of the Kangaroo Paw. Bet you didn't know you'd have a title like that at some stage in your life. Welcome.
Thanks, Natasha.
Where are you at the moment?
We're in Dullungra today in northern New South Wales.
Right. How's it going up there today?
Yeah, it's quite a few people have popped in to see us so far this morning, so it's I think we are in for a busy day.
Yeah, we're going to find out what they're popping in for. This all began, I gather, during the 2006 drought, and it's really been an initiative that's been touring the road ever since. What was it in response to? What is this all about?
This time round, we're again responding to the drought, but originally the mobile service centres came into being as the drought buses, and they came into service in the first drought response that the government delivered in 2006. And when that drought assistance measure finished, they were rebranded the mobile service centres and continued to bridge the gap between rural and regional communities and government payments and services.
Barbara, what was the need that was identified at that particular time that wasn't being met?
That the distance of between communities and some of the government offices was a little bit of a hindrance for people to actually connect to those services and payments. So that's where we continue to provide that service. We take the service to the regional and rural towns throughout Australia.
So this is stuff like Medicare and Centrelink and all the administrivia of our lives that the Department of Human Services oversees.
That's correct. So it's Medicare, it's Centrelink, it's child support. We also have a Hearing Australia screening service on board, and we also have other people that join us along the way depending on what town we're visiting, what their services and needs are as well.
So who might that be? Who do you hook up with along the way? Give us an example.
Well, for these particular trips, we have the rural financial counsellors with us, and we also have the Department of Primary Industries rural support workers with us. We also have our own specialists that we may take on board, including social workers, financial information officers, Indigenous officers.
Is this because you, in each area you go, you identify particular needs through consultation with the community?
That's correct. So we develop a service delivery program for each individual town that we go to, and we try to make sure that we have those specialists to meet those needs in each particular town.
It's ambitious because incredible need in those drought-affected communities at the moment.
Yes, definitely. So we always have a social worker with us on board at the moment, and we also have drought coordinators travelling with us as well.
But then you're passing through and you've gone.
Yes, but we make sure that we do as much as we can on the day that we're here, and we also make sure that we connect people with our services that so they can feel comfortable using our other channel service channels, so whether it be the internet or our smart apps. So we make sure that we don't just sort of fleet through on the other side. We like to make sure that we connect them so that they can continue to access those payments once we've passed through.
It's interesting, isn't it? We assume that this face-to-face contact isn't so important these days because, you know, we've got the internet. We can do all this sort of transaction stuff, most of it, online. What are the barriers there for some of the communities and some of the punters that you liaise with in terms of accessing all this stuff online?
Sure. Because we are travelling such a vast amount of the country, some of the places still struggle to actually get a decent internet service that allows them to be able to complete a claim online or actually download the form. So the speed of the internet is a hindrance for a lot of people.
Yeah, it sure is, isn't it?
Mm.
And what about in disaster relief situations? Because that's another aspect of this. I mean, a drought is a disaster, but what about other settings?
Sure. We have gone and assisted with cyclones, fire. So we've done the fires that hit in New South Wales last year. We also went to the Tasmanian fires in January of 2013. We did the Bundaberg floods. And because we're self-contained, we aren't a hindrance in those disasters. We have our own source of power. So we can sort of go in there and establish our business on the ground and have all our IT up and running so that we can help those communities in the hour of need.
How does this mean for you? What does this mean for your life? What have you given up in order to stay on the road like this?
I miss my family, but I'm out here doing something that I love. So I do. We do 2 weeks away, and when we go home and do 1 week at home. So it's not continually on the road. So I do get to go home and touch base, but it is something that I love, and my family support me in doing it.
What do you love about it?
Meeting the different people. It's a different town every day, so it's a different type of a service delivery that we do every day. It's different people every day. And I like the fact that we can go out and help these people and understand that there are people to help them and support them in their hour of need.
Yeah, it would be a lot about, you know, compassion and in your role, I would imagine, because you can have people, you know, often governments are kind of arm's length from from the day-to-day difficulties and crises, you know, and this is a very different interaction, isn't it? It's almost like come into our fold, you know?
That's exactly what it is. Come in and we can help you explain what the forms mean, why we're collecting that information, why it's important that we have that information to be able to help you and make sure that we're able to connect you with the right payments.
So you're in Delunga at the moment in northwestern New South Wales. What's coming up in the next few weeks?
Tomorrow we're in Barrabar, and then we have the other truck is currently touring Queensland, and this truck is actually going to be heading down to the Mallee Country in Victoria.
Beautiful part of the world.
Mm.
You get to see a good bit of landscape.
Yeah, often as I'm driving past.
All right, so people should be looking out for the kangaroo paw. Where's the desert pea at the moment?
The desert pea is in southwestern Queensland at the moment. So it's travelling through places like Longreach and Winton. It's going to be heading to Cunnamulla, Thugaminda, Quilpie, so all down through that southwestern corner.
So people should look out for that big, colourful bus or truck,
isn't it? It's a full-size Chevy trailer, so it's basically black and it has some lovely rural scenes on it, of windmills and rural post boxes that we see on the way. So it's not hard to miss, and we... happy to see anyone who comes along for a chat.
Fantastic to have you join us, Barbara. Thanks very much for letting us know about the service.
No worries. Thank you so much, Natasha, for having us.
That's great. Barbara Tate, a manager on board the Kangaroo Paw, one of two mobile service centres staffed and operated by the Department of Human Services, for all that stuff that just needs sorting in our lives.